The novel Frankenstein, or the modern Prometheus, is turning 200 years old in 2018. Whether through pop culture like Young Frankenstein, the Munsters, or Frankenberry cereal, or deeper questions about creation and man's hubris, the novel and its themes have continued their deep hold on writers and readers alike. Now a new annotated version of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein explores questions of science, engineering, and philosophy. It was the brainchild of a team at ASU, including David Gustin, director of the School for the Future of Innovation in Society, and he joins me, as does Devonie Loser, professor of English at ASU. David, I'll start with you. A man's hubris trying to be a creator, along with his responsibility once he creates, are important themes of the book. Does that hit the core of what you want people to think about?
Yeah, no, I think that's very much what we're trying to get after here, is the responsibility of almost any kind of creativity. And, you know, in Mary's context, some of this comes from her own vision of parental responsibility, both in terms of how she related to her father, to her mother who died shortly after giving birth to her, mm-hmm. to children who died, her own children who died, but also to the incredible creative moment in the broader society that Mary was writing in, the Industrial Revolution, the new chemistry. Some wonderful scientists were close friends of Mary's father, and she got to learn from them. She and Percy had all sorts of interesting, what we would call popular science experiences, and they were devotees of the science of the time. Mm-hmm. Folks, now we're at a point where, if you look at, say, the field of synthetic biology, where we're encouraging high school students and undergraduate students to make their own creatures, microscopic creatures, mind you, but we've now gone from a point where Mary, in the beginning of the 19th century, could go see public demonstrations of what was then the new galvanic science of recently deceased animals being hooked up to batteries and watching them convulse and move as if they were alive, where that was a public demonstration, to a place where kids may or may not be able to actually dissect frogs in the classroom for certain kinds of ethical concerns, and yet kids are still being encouraged now to create their own organisms with different DNA from other organisms.
Devonie, how powerful is a story like this? If you look at this from a point of literature and then the themes of it, is it one of the more impactful novels we've ever seen?
I think this is one of the most important novels we have. Certainly, it's one of the most important novels from this period. You know, the names that you think of from the Romantic period, the late 18th, early 19th century, are probably three: Jane Austen, Sir Walter Scott, and Mary Shelley. And Shelley's is now the most taught among the three, and I think for good reason. Its themes speak to us in ways that are very powerful.
What about the lack of respect, seemingly, that she got because she was a woman writing this at the time?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, too. And I think partly it's having to do with the fact that she was writing fiction. And you'll see throughout this text, her literary references are often to poetry, to plays. She feels she has to say some things to defend having done this in prose fiction. And it was considered a more feminine form. Women were never less than half of the producers of novels during this period, interestingly. But people thought of it as a women's genre. So she was adding her voice and making a great one to a kind of innovative genre for the time.
It almost seems like there are two paths when people think about Frankenstein, those who are not as heavily entrenched. One is the question about man's hubris, and the other is, oh, it's this gothic sort of novel, and yet when you think about the themes of this, there is a lot more to it. How much do you think the setting itself and the way that she draws us in with atmosphere sets the tone for all of this?
Yeah, and I think she makes this clear in the preface that the Gothic tradition is one she's very much inspired by. But she wants to move beyond the sort of supernatural, titillating, terrifying details that are entertaining in this kind of fiction and move us into some questions about human nature and about human behavior, and ethics and morality. She makes that clear from the first page of the novel. And I think the novel does it beautifully.
Yeah, those ethical questions, we keep coming back to that. Dave, is that something that is part of its enduring power?
I think so.
That these questions are never quite answerable as humans?
Well, some of them are.
Okay.
So among the questions that Mary is dealing with are things like slavery. And there's the wonderful turn, I don't know if I can get the text exactly right, where the creature says to Victor, you're my creator, but I am your master, obey me. Okay, so that inversion of the master-slave relationship Okay, that's, you know, we have a clear ethical understanding of that, and that's only punctuated by the fact that this is a novel that was banned in South Africa in the 1950s. But some of the things we don't quite have a grip on. And mm-hmm. so, you know, in the novel, Victor struggles after he creates the creature, after he fails in his initial confrontation with the creature. He just sort of faints away and the creature goes running off. But then he struggles with what is his remaining responsibility. Is it to himself, to his family, to human society more broadly, to the creature? And those are things I think that we do still struggle with. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not clear to me whether Victor should or should not have created a companion for the creature. Mm-hmm. I think that's a interesting perplexity.
One of the things that came to mind from looking at the book is the autonomy of scientists. Does a great scientist need to be autonomous in some ways?
That's a great question. Scientists like to think of themselves as engaged in a transgressive enterprise. And thinking about, for example, the history of medicine and the centuries of transgression that occurred in order to get to the place where we are today is, you know, it's very challenging to think about what society would have been like without people who were doing things that in some sense their betters, their laws and their ethics told them they shouldn't do in the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries, and the trajectory that we've taken. Then again, one could also say, well, you know, those folks were also part of a larger social enterprise of degrading the humanity in particular directions that led us to some of the horrors of the 19th and 20th centuries.
Is this book scary? And if so, in what ways?
Of course it's scary. It is scary. I've read it enough times now that I'm not terrified by it in a kind of, you know, sitting around a campfire ghost story kind of way. But it's scary in that it asks us difficult questions that are really unanswerable, I think, ultimately. We each need to come to our own sense of what does it mean to be a creator, whether that's a literary creator, a scientific creator, and what your responsibilities are with that creation when it goes into the world.
I think the central horror for me is the one that moves from Mary's context to the present and the near future, is the potential horror of unbridled, unguarded, unmitigated creativity, that humanity is technologically at an interesting brink at the moment with both biological and robotic and AI and the host of new potential creatures that we could usher into being. And I frankly think that we have not had the best discussions about what our responsibilities are to ourselves, to those creations, to a broader society.
David Gustin is director of the School for the Future of Innovation in Society at ASU. And Devany Loser is a professor of English at ASU. We've been talking about the new annotated edition of Frankenstein.